Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Depending on the genre of the book, she goes by either Lindy Miller or Lindy Ryan. Ryan for her horror stories, Miller for her romance novels. So for now, we'll just call her Lindy. She followed her husband to Juneau when the Coast Guard transferred him here, but she's as busy as ever. She's out with a new animated film based on a children's picture book that she's writing, Trick or Treat, Aleister Gray, just in time for Halloween.
On a dark, crisp night, in the last days of fall, little Aleister Gray went to a Halloween ball. He stalked through the leaves, spun up in old rags, a homemade mummy with a trick-or-treat bag. When he arrived at the ball, Allie threw wide the doors, eager to see goblins and ghouls and werewolves on all fours. The room was trimmed for a Halloween caper, decked with hay bales and fat pumpkins and bats of crepe paper. A troop of bent witches circled the room, wearing green wigs and warts, holding twig-bristled brooms.
So, Lindy Miller, Lindy Ryan, I just never know which name is going to be attached to what seems like a split personality, Lindy the horror story writer or Lindy the romance writer. But either case, it's good to have you here today. And I guess we have the Lindy Ryan hat on today, right?
We do. The Lindy Ryan hat is on. Thank you for having me.
So Lindy Ryan is the horror story writer, and you have a book coming out next August, Trick or Treat, Aleister Gray. But we heard an excerpt from an animated film that's just been released based on the book. So it kind of comes just in time for Halloween. So maybe you should backtrack and tell us a little bit about who is Aleister Gray.
So Aleister Gray is a little boy who loves Halloween, but when he attends a school Halloween carnival, he's disappointed to see that the celebration is more silly than spooky, which is very much based on myself and my son, who I originally wrote the story for when he was just a little guy. But Aleister goes to his carnival. He's a little frustrated by the silliness and the lack of spook. And he goes on to meet a special Halloween friend that teaches him that there's more than one way to celebrate Halloween and shares some of the basis for, you know, the ancient traditions of the holiday.
So you have just produced an animated film based on this children's picture book. So how long is it?
The animated short is just a little shy of 10 minutes. So it's slow paced. It's intended to, you know, let little ones watch as they read along with the story and really get that full kind of cinematic experience, but follow along with the picture book.
Who does the artwork for your picture book?
So all the artwork was done by a Hungarian artist named Tamia Gazdag. I met her through a friend of a friend of a friend, you know, how these things always happen in creative circles. And I just fell in love with the way she drew characters and the way that she sparked them with life and personality, and her style is very reminiscent of, you know, maybe Tim Burton, Lemony Snicket, those types of kind of spooky but not scary children's Halloween projects. And we were able to work together on all 32 pages of the picture book. And I think that she did an absolutely phenomenal job that really encapsulates, you know, the ambiance and the kind of creepiness of Halloween into the illustrations.
Well, it's narrated by Sam Sheeran, and so you did a great job of reading us an excerpt from your book, but boy, he gives it a whole new feel, doesn't he, that story?
Oh my gosh, yes. I think, you know, Sam and I have been friends for quite some time, and it was such an honor to be able to collaborate and work together on this project. I mean, he is a British horror artist over in the UK and has done so much incredible work. He's well known for his creations over there. But what I was looking for when we decided to do this short was someone who really brought the spirit of the season into the voice and could read Aleister and could read the Sentinel, his spooky Halloween friend, with all of the flair of a Vincent Price or a Christopher Lee. And I think Sam absolutely nailed that. There was no one else who could have brought that same voice to the book.
Let's hear a little bit more of Sam Sheeran. What part would you like us to hear?
I think one of the most interesting and exciting parts of the story is when Alistair actually meets the Sentinel, and you know he's confronted with this kind of monstrous creature who speaks to him, you know, very friendly and very cheerfully. So I think that's a great opportunity to hear Sam read the story, but also play the role of both the Sentinel and of Alistair.
All right, well, let's listen.
Then, without moving, the Sentinel grinned, a grin most unpleasant, and Alistair shivered in its unearthly presence. He looked deep into the Sentinel's strange glowing eyes, but was relieved to see it, despite his surprise.
Thank you,
he whispered.
Thank you for coming. I don't understand what Halloween is becoming. It's all treats and no tricks, just candy and games. Where are the monsters? The rattling chains?
The Sentinel's head gave a big, wobbling shake, and this time spoke low, with a voice like a snake.
All Hallows' Eve is not just for the dark. It is something more sacred, in which fun is a part. This time of year is a festival of light, both for those still living and those haunting the night. Halloween is for us, when for just once a year we may come back to play with what once we held dear. It is wise to remember that night follows day, and we must live fully what we've been given to play. Then there's no reason to fear when the dark comes to call, when Halloween comes knocking, when it comes for us all. So take care, little mummy.
It's just very interesting these days as a writer that a video or an animated film precedes the book.
Yeah, this one is a little unique. Usually it's the other way around, you know, and most of my other projects, especially in the Lindy Miller side, are book to film process projects versus on the horror side, they somehow go the other direction. But what that has done for us in this situation is allow us to take the short film into a festival circuit and be able to show it at film festivals, especially the Halloween film festivals that are happening right now, and some of the festivals that are geared specifically to animated shorts. So we're able to go and do and maybe pick up some awards or get some early audiences, early press.
Wow. So you are using this film to create buzz for your book, to kind of pre-market it in some ways.
Yeah, that kind of, again, that kind of happened strangely. The book was supposed to come out before the film and even picked up a couple of awards and then the pre-publication process, but the film just picked up, moved a little faster, stars aligned and timing worked out. And we were able to get it up and get it together and hit the film circuit this year before the big release in time for Halloween next year.
Well, you always picture writers as people who have a hard time making ends meet, that, you know, they have to have a day job, that it's hard to be a full-time writer. But here you are in Juneau, I guess, after your husband transferred here with the Coast Guard, and you're making films, writing books constantly. How are you juggling that from Juneau?
Well, a lot of juggling. That's certainly true. We moved here, but we've been here about 2 years in Juneau, and I'm a professor by trade. So I still teach for Rutgers University. I still teach online, which is really nice today. It's very flexible and easy. I think I definitely write and work in the publishing entertainment space more than teaching. Luckily, you know, all of the people that I work with, whether it's my agents or fellow producers or editors, we're scattered all across the world. So it doesn't matter where we are. We always find a way to get together and work together and occasionally see each other at, you know, book events or, you know, film premieres or something like that. It's actually really nice to be hidden away and tucked in Alaska where no one can easily find me here in Juneau. And I get a lot of work done.
The last time that we talked to you on Juneau Afternoon, you told us about your new book that had come out, a romance novel set in Hawaii that has already been turned to a film and it's still apparently awaiting a venue. How is it that you're able to do all these different things with your work?
That's a question I get asked fairly often, as you might imagine, toggling between the romance side and the horror side. I jump back and forth between sweet seasonal stuff and dark, gritty, spooky stuff, and even quite a bit of nonfiction and poetry these days. So I always have something in progress, several other things lined up behind it. And yeah, but there's definitely common themes in all my work. And even Halloween is one of those common themes. Aside from Trick or Treat, Alistair Gray, which is a children's Halloween picture book. Last year, I released The Magic Ingredient, which is a sweet seasonal romance that takes place at Halloween. And is also optioned for film by the same producers of Aloha with Love. So I think what joined a lot of my projects together are the places and the themes within them and not necessarily the genre.
So Lindy Miller, not Lindy Ryan, wrote Magic Ingredient.
Lindy Miller. Yeah, it's my Dr. Jekyll, Mrs. Hyde side. The sweet stuff all gets Lindy Miller, which is my maiden name. And then all the spooky stuff gets, you know, Lindy Ryan and the nonfiction and all that good stuff stays under my married name.
So what is the plot in a nutshell for Magic Ingredient?
The Magic Ingredient is a story about a widower single father who is ready to start life over with his daughter, Candace. They move to Bar Harbor, Maine, which I grew up, spent some time growing up in Bar Harbor. And once there, they fall in love, not with just the community and the town and the island, but also with the owner of dessert shop and tea patisserie named Eve Silver, who is struggling to keep her family business alive. So it's a second chances story, both for Eve, for Jeff, and even for Candace, the daughter, as well as an entire universe to sink your teeth into with all the fun people and characters running around Bar Harbor, Maine.
So going back to your children's story that you put together on Alistair, who is based on your son, it's very interesting that Alistair doesn't think Halloween is scary enough as people celebrate Halloween these days, that he thinks it's devolved into silliness. What is it about Halloween that kids tend to crave being scared? Or maybe we all want to be scared.
I think we all want to be scared, even just a little. Nothing makes you feel more alive and more energized than a little bit of terror every now and again. And both my husband and I have really strong family heritages in Ireland, the Celtic Islands. And so we've grown up both celebrating those kind of older traditions of Halloween and really treating the holiday like a sacred moment. You know, we carve jack-o'-lanterns, we leave out bread for the dead. We set out candy for trick-or-treaters. We keep the lights ablaze for the night. And we honor those traditions in our house. And, you know, when my son was little, he says, you know, why do we do all these spooky things and, you know, always have spooky costumes and homemade costumes. But a lot of my friends are running around dressed up like superheroes and cowboys. And why am I not a cowboy? Why am I a ghost or a mummy? Actually, Alistair Gray wears a homemade mummy costume, which was one of my favorite ones that I made for my son when he was about 4.
What is it, Lindy, about Halloween being this holiday that is both spooky and scary and somewhat terrifying versus being fun and everybody letting go and sort of mocking death and the underworld of spirits?
Yeah, well, it's definitely both, right? And that's just what Alistair learns in the story, is that there's more than one way to celebrate. And everyone is celebrating, the living and the dead, right? We're honoring those who have come before us. We're partying with them as if it was, you know, a night for them to come back and join us. So it is a lot of fun. Bobbing for apples, trick-or-treating. We do pumpkin bowling in my house. A lot of fun in games, but it's also, you know, a little spooky talking about what happens after death. We're talking about people who've gone before us. We're talking about spirits returning and monsters and ghouls and all these, you know, super spooky things. So it's definitely, I think, a little of both, a fun and fright.
Fun and fright. Well, we'll leave it on that note. And thank you so much, Lindy Miller / Lindy Ryan, a split personality on our show. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Hope you have a fun Halloween.
You too. Trick or treat.
Halloween,
he reflected, is a time of joy and of fright.
It's both,
he decided,
because it all honors the night.
The sentinel nodded, blinking its wide pumpkin eyes, and the time had now come to say their goodbyes. Tightening his rags, Alistair picked up his sack, when he heard from behind a sharp snap and a crack. The sentinel had gone, faded back into night. But still his voice lingered.
Trick or treat and sleep time.